He'd met Vonnie when they were both 17, and he didn't like her immediately, because it was his personal policy to dislike all the people who came to the ranch, the families from Grosse Pointe and Greenwich and Manhattan and Princeton, and from the 10 other platinum republics in their beautiful flannel shirts and new Levi's. He treated them well and saw to their safety around the horses, and he taught them what he could about the ranch and securing knots and fire safety and the birds and the snakes and the occasional bears. He took them to big springs and rock tree trailheads, but he didn't bring them here. He envied their gear, their bright boots, their gorgeous bone pocket knives, but he never stole one. He was quiet and known as being quiet, and it was not an act. He had learned that it was the way he kept any power at all. After his mother died of the cancer, and his father and the ranch manager, Sawyer Day, saw the money story, they had started taking 10 weeks of guests in the summers. They needed the money. They hired a great cook, a woman named Amarantha out of Logan, Utah, and she laid a table like he had never seen. For that time, the ranch paid its bills. The reputation of Box Creek grew, and they were booked steady all those years, 24 people every week, and Mac grew up with them from when he was 10, answering the same questions about horseshoes and hay and can I feed this horse an apple without him biting me. A horse on a dude ranch eats a lot of apples. Vonnie's family came out from Chapel Hill, where her mother was a professor of political science, and he gave her the same horse every year, Rusty, a benevolent roan who was golden once a day if the sun was right. Vonnie was a strong athlete and played soccer in college, but Mac avoided her, as he did all the guests, easily. Many weeks the guests had romances with the other guests, intrigues afoot, and Mac had plenty of work grooming horses when the day ended while everyone showered in the big house and in the two cottages and then lined up for Amarantha's astounding buffet. Plus, his father had spoken to him after the third summer. It was obvious the way the kids hung out by the rail fence when Mac was shoeing a horse or working the tack. They'd follow him around, the boys and the girls, and they wanted to know about him. His father called him into the big house, and they sat in the small front office that Sawyer Day used the 2 days a week he came out to do books. And his father swiveled the oak chair to Mac, and they talked. The room was cloistered by the varnished pine shelves full of books, his father's collection of Zane Grey and Jack London and Western history, and a beaten tin umbrella stand full of rolled maps. "These kids look up to you," his father said. "I don't know," Mac said. He sat on the dark leather hassock, orphaned from its long-lost chair. "Yes, you do. They should look up to you. You're a good hand. They're not used to this. All they've got is their car and the junior prom. You're an exotic item, Mac." "Okay," the boy said. "But what we are to these people is a sort of cliché. They come out here to taste this, and it's good for all of us. But these girls, some of them, are going to fall for you, you big, strong cowboy." His father tapped Mac's knee with his two fingers. "Come on, you can look at me. I know you're a good kid. Some of these gals from New York even come after your old man, a little fling out west for a week. You want to be a cliché?"
"No, sir," Mac said. "I don't."
"You need me to recount the history of Sheridan, the racehorse?"
"No, sir, please."
His father smiled. "Have you recovered from that lesson?" He'd taken the boy to witness their only thoroughbred, Sheridan, at stud when Mac was 9 years old.
"No, sir," Mac said, truly. "No one could."
Mac went on and repeated what his father had said that day.
"That's enough of the birds and bees for one boy."
"Well, good," his father said. "We won't be cliches then. That's all. I expect you know what to do. Talk the day with these kids and riding and horses and weather, and then send them back to supper. Don't walk with them or have them out near the bunkhouse. My eyes are right here. I know you know what to do. I don't want this business venture we're in to hurt you, boy.
I love you and I love this place. Do you know it?
Yes, sir, I do.
Show me your hands.
Mac leaned and held his hands out and then turned them over. They'd always done this, a show of hands. His father looked him over, nails, cuticles, knuckles, palms. You could tell a good ranch hand by the number of nicks. The fewer, the better the ranch hand. And as the years passed, Mac's hands cleared up. His father squeezed his hands now and said, "That's enough of that. Quite a talk for the old homestead. You go get to work."